Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? For I'm a virgin." The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Some familiar words. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. 'Tis the season for happy visions. Yesterday, my family and I, we made our annual visit to Santa. And when Santa asked Isla what she would like for Christmas, she told him, very concise, simple list. She would like a unicorn, a kitty, and wedding shoes. Santa looked over at me and said, "I might need some help with this one, Mom." My little girl, she knows how to dream big. Unfortunately, though, I don't think that the dreams and visions to which Joel refers, as Susan read for us moments ago, I don't think that those are supposed to be visions of sugar plums or unicorns. As I read Joel's words this week, it struck me that we were lighting a candle for peace today. And that as we pray for it, as we turn our hearts and minds to God, I thought about how we might envision peace. Joel says that God's Spirit will be poured out upon us and we will dream dreams and see visions. If we dream of peace, what are we willing to do in order to bring it about? If we envision a world without war, how can we begin to dismantle the economic machine of conflict? You also just heard the next piece of the story of Jesus' birth, as Luke tells it. Mary, presumably sitting alone one day, doing whatever Mary does to fill her days, is visited by an angel. Gabriel is his name. The angel tells her that she will have a baby, and that her baby will be the Son of God. Mary's response? never ceases to amaze me. She takes it remarkably well, I think. I'm pretty sure that I would make a giant fool of myself if an angel arrived and just started speaking, let alone that kind of a message. So, thank goodness that God chose Mary instead of me. But Mary's response, simple. Let it be for me according to your word, she says. What a humble servant. And I think that most of the time we picture Mary in just that way, as this kind of docile, eyes downcast, quiet young woman, the picture of humility. But I remember from my trip to the Holy Land several years ago, I remember a statue of Mary. And it just so happens to be a statue of Mary being visited by the angel Gabriel. And whereas most statues portray Mary exactly the way I just said, right? She's often either kneeling, or if she's standing, you know, her arms are open, perhaps holding a baby, but her eyes are downcast, and she always looks so serene and peaceful. But this statue, I can remember it. It was at the Church of the Annunciation in Nazareth. It wasn't like that. I remember several things. I remember how young she looked. Her arms are not open. They're kind of crossed, almost as if to protect herself. I remember that she's looking at this angel, and her expression was equal parts mesmerized and terrified. The Mary that I saw in that statue was a lot more like the Mary I imagine it would have taken to be able to deal with a visit from an angel, an unexpected pregnancy, and a questioning fiancé. I like to think that Mary had a little spunk in her. To be sure, she was not weak. I imagine that Mary was the embodiment of female strength. Nonetheless, I remember that statue well. I remember studying the expression on her face. And this week, as I reread the words from Joel, and I thought about this promise that Joel speaks, that our old men will dream dreams and our young men see visions. It was that statue of Mary that popped into my head. Because I thought, what do we do with dreams and visions from God? How do we receive them? How do we perceive them? I think that when God lets us in on God's plan, little bit by little bit, as it always happens, that our response is a mixture of awe and terror. A little bit of wow, mixed with a little bit of what? Here in our congregation, we too experience a time of change, a time of renewal. Jane just talked to us about that which you likely saw in your messenger last week. And I hope that you have been pondering this idea of a transition planning team, because this is exciting and terrifying and necessary to ensure that Zion's history of vibrant ministry is able to continue for years to come. It is a challenging time for the church at large and for congregations like us. And if we desire to continue to be active in God's mission for the world, then we need to be ready to dream some big dreams and see some new visions. And I all but guarantee you that whatever comes will both excite and terrify. But I think that's okay, because that's how it just seems to work. Joel speaks the promise of a God who is gracious and merciful, whose love is always steadfast, who pours out his spirit on young and old, on women and on men. And Mary receives, well, just about the most ridiculous news that anyone has ever received, with grace and strength and faith. Surely, with God's help, we too can find the faith and grace and courage to dream big dreams and to open our eyes to see new visions of what might be. Even to look deep into the eyes of a baby that we know so well, and see a new story emerge. Amen.